your numbers are going to be different than my numbers, but it's got to make sense to you. You know, the thing about it, if that one house that you think you want just doesn't work number-wise, leave it alone. There's another one coming.
All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Birmingham Real Estate Investor Podcast. I am your host, Spencer Sutton, and I'm excited today because I have a good friend and our first guest back with us. Now, Brian, we don't do this very often, but we want to welcome you back. I have Brian Miles. Brian, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks, Spencer. And listen, it's great to be here.
I don't know if you remember the first time, the first podcast we recorded, you were in your house. We like literally, I think Matthew and I had recorded like just kind of an intro. This is what we're doing. And then we invited you on and you were in your house. We were in our office and just had a great conversation. You remember that?
No, I thought I was sitting in the office with them.
No, you weren't sitting with us. You weren't sitting with us. You were sitting at your house because the echo was, it was like echoing so bad.
I think I was at the office, but anyway.
Anyway, here we go. Well, we're back again, and I'm glad to have Brian Miles. And Brian and I go way back. You could probably find some old YouTube videos on our channel where we've had Brian on, and you could go back and learn a lot about Birmingham from those episodes. But I wanted to have Brian back just because I wanted to catch up with what's been going on in Birmingham. And I want to give you a quick background of Brian. So Brian started investing in Birmingham real estate in the late 90s. And I met him in somewhere probably around 2003, 2004, when I started wholesaling houses. We were competing for some houses, I believe. And then we actually worked together for a short period of time. Like you came and worked with us and bought houses. And then you went and bought your own Homebuster franchise.
Yep, sure did. The first place I met you was on Roebuck Circle at a house, you and Roland.
That's right. Did you buy that house or did we buy that house?
I think Matthew Whitaker bought that house because he showed up that day when I was there.
So he bought it from us, though. We bought it and then he bought it.
Correct. I think Matthew bought that house from the two of you.
Yeah, that's right. He does talk about that house. So the first house I ever sold Matthew was Cherry Avenue.
It was Flea House. Covered with flea.
That's right. You went in and got fleas all over you. I stayed out in the driveway and said, hey, go check that out, Brian.
Yep, I did. But just, I'll never forget that. It was the nastiest house.
So I do want to kind of bring this around full circle. Matthew just sold that house probably a month or 2 months ago. So the very first house he bought, how he got into this business, that he just sold it. And I joke with him all the time, like, because he blames me for getting him in the business. And I'm like, well, it must have been an incredible house. You kept it for so long.
Well, think about it. You got him in the business. And then for whatever reason, he decides to start a company called GK Houses.
That's right.
Now it's Evernest. Yeah, GK to Evernest. And now here we are. 6,000, almost 7,000 properties later and 13 markets. But today we want to talk about Birmingham because Birmingham is your bread and butter. And I just want to catch up because I always think it's great talking to you. We love talking about real estate. We also talk about our personal lives, but today I want to talk about Birmingham real estate. And we were just shooting the bull, you know, for 20, 30 minutes before we hit record. And you were telling me, you were even giving me names. Hey, do you know so-and-so? Do you know so-and-so? I need to introduce you. And that's what I love about the Birmingham community is that people love to connect with other investors and pretty generous with what they know. So let me ask you, and I'll hand you the microphone. You can talk. Like, talk to me about your journey of how you learned about Birmingham real estate. Who helped you along in your journey? And then how have you helped other investors along in their journey?
So Melvin and Jill Upchurch in 1999, I had dinner with Jill. And Jill was telling me what her and Melvin were starting to do. And I said, if you ever need anybody, I would love to help you. So shortly thereafter, that mainly then we were buying HUD properties is what we bought. And I was given packets every week, and it may be one or two, it may be as many as 10. And I caught on to it pretty quickly. You know, my job was to go and look at the comps, look at the work that needed to be done, And then I would just report back and say, this is doable. This one's not. And then they would pick it up from there. And then from there, we were either, at that time, we were doing nothing but retailing the houses. We were selling to the end user. They had not got into rentals yet. So they taught me, you know, I'd owe them a lot for sure. And then as we've gone on, you know, you just have people call you up. One guy in particular, Spencer and I were talking about, was Adam Hobson. I remember reaching out to Adam through one of his signs. And, you know, before you know it, Adam and I kind of hit it off. And to see what, and again, Adam is a student of real estate. He's very good at what he does. And, but, you know, I'm going to have to take credit and just say, look, yeah, you know, the guy's so good that hopefully I was able to help him a little bit along the way, but he is a phenomenal guy. But yes, people in Birmingham, they'll help you. I've never run across anybody. It's, you know, it's, there's enough houses out there, maybe a tad bit more difficult to run across today, but you know, there's always a house to go by.
That is what I have appreciated even about our relationship, is because, you know, I bought this HomeVestor franchise. I'd never bought a house. This was back in 2003. I start wholesaling houses, get to know you. You taught me a ton about real estate, because at that point, I think you owned rentals yourself, and I didn't at that point. So even we still, you know, stay in touch. I actually sold you a house not too terribly long ago over on East Ridge, 1117 East Ridge. I'll never forget that house. I should have sold it way back when, but I didn't. And I held on to it. But yeah, so Birmingham, great market, a lot of people to learn from. And that's kind of something that I would say, no matter where you're looking to invest, like just getting to know the local investors, just reaching out, just like when you were talking about Adam Hobson, you were talking about calling his bandit signs, right? And you were like, put me on your list. And he was like, Brian, you're on my list. Let's go grab lunch. Let's go meet and talk. And y'all develop this great relationship. And that's really how it is in Birmingham. And so fast forward, you were a part of Evernest starting, you know, you helped Matthew get Evernest off the ground back when it was just like two of you or three of you, and you were managing 30 houses. So fast forward, last time we sat down together and interviewed and we talked to you was probably, I want to say we probably interviewed you around April of 2020. Because we didn't release it until June or July of 2020. So COVID had just started. Talk to me, in your opinion, what's happened in the Birmingham market since, you know, over the past 2 years, like 2 years since COVID, what have you seen in the market? And I'm asking you because you are truly boots on the ground. Like you are, you know, you're in and out of houses, you're still buying properties, you're involved in a lot of things going on. What are you seeing in the market right now?
So I think one of the best things that has happened with investors coming in is we are seeing areas of Birmingham that I never would have thought would have turned around. Here's a couple of examples. Like there's an area called East Thomas, which is the 35204 zip code. There was a time I never would have looked, but I drove through there last week looking for houses.
Where is that?
So East Thomas is really close to where Interstate 65 and Interstate 5920 are located, very close to downtown Birmingham. Still has a long ways to go, but you are seeing, I'm seeing houses retail over in that area now. There's an area of North Birmingham just north of downtown Druid Hills. It's hot. I mean, it is a hot market. Again, you know, it's, you know, I look back on driving by a lot of houses that I know that I've looked at in the past and I go, well, one, why did I ever sell it? And two, why didn't I buy the thing? I mean, you know, just I think one of the best things that has happened with all of these investors coming in, all of these rehabbers, the ones, whether it's for rental, whether it's for retail market, is and I think continues to turn Birmingham around. It has taken areas of blight and truly transformed it. It's amazing. So we're just glad to see that. Now, in regards to prices, I kind of cut my teeth in the western part of Birmingham in the Inglewood area. And we're seeing, I pulled up MLS the other day. There's a house in Inglewood. It's in the 35204 zip code, but it was listed, I think, at 310,000, went on the market in 4 days, went under contract in 4 days. Beautiful home. Don't know who the investor is. I do know that investor has been doing a lot in what's called the Bush Hills, Inglewood area and through there. So it's amazing what we're seeing. West End, I heard today, this morning, I had breakfast with a guy, and he was telling me about a West End house off of Jefferson Avenue just sold for $210,000. And again, never in a million years would I have thought that would have taken place. So nothing's off limits anymore. When I look now, whether it be Brighton, Lipscomb, Powderly, just we look in these areas now. We look hard in these areas.
This is really amazing to me, because you're saying all these areas that we just avoided. We like the plague, like we did not want to be anywhere near those places. We knew that if we bought them, they were going to be vandalized and we were not going to find residents to rent them very fast. And so, like, what about Wylam?
So I just made an offer on a house in Wylam.
Are you serious?
35224 zip code. Again, another one of those areas. I've owned houses in that area in the past, back in probably early 2000. And then it just really went to pot. It turned out to be a bad area. Drove, what we call dig leading, driving through, just writing down addresses. And there's so many good ways to do that now through apps and all that stuff. But absolutely drove it probably about a month and a half ago. And we're still in the process of following up on some of those, but just made an offer on one the other day, probably within the last 3 weeks or so. I made an offer on a house in Wylam and just hope I get it.
Well, it's funny that, you just hope you get it, because we had some investors from Oregon that had bought a bunch of houses and totally got hosed on these deals because they got taken to the cleaners. And the thing, just kind of as a side note, one of the things that I think has happened in Birmingham, which is, back in the day, it was kind of like the Wild Wild West. When you had a bunch of out-of-state investors come in, you had a lot of people popping up, selling properties that they shouldn't have been selling, doing things they shouldn't have been doing. It was like the Wild Wild West. And I see now that there's a lot more legitimate players in town. And so hopefully what that means is people are not being taken advantage of as easily. But I remember this group out of Oregon, they came, they bought a bunch of houses, and we went and walked their houses in Wylam, and they were trash. They were just trash. And their comment was, hey, we want to buy a ton of houses in Wylam and see it come back. We want to be a part of, the community revitalization. This is probably 2015. And I told them at that time that was not going to happen. I was like, listen, this area is not going to happen. But what you're saying is that in some cases, it is happening. And I know that you've even talked to me. Another place that we used to avoid back in the day was like North Birmingham. And so tell me a little bit about like north of downtown. I know we have the new, is it Legacy Stadium or Protective Life Stadium? We have Top Golf. We've got Legacy Arena. We have a ton of business. Like Birmingham is definitely being transformed, has been transformed over the past 10 years. But tell me even about these neighborhoods that we were avoiding back then.
Yeah, so I would tell you one of the biggest neighborhoods that we avoided, other than what I call the true North Birmingham, was an area not far from there called Norwood. Yeah. And I wish I could think of Rob's last name. Rob and his wife, her name I believe is Shannon, there's two houses in there that I made offers on. Rob, one of them, the lady had a mortgage on it will never forget this. She was on Norwood Boulevard, which is absolutely a beautiful street. And in its heyday, it was an unbelievable place to live. Rob bought a two-story house that kind of sat on the corner. I had looked at that house. She owed $50,000, thought, there's nothing I can do. I couldn't find comps. Rob bought that house. He was smart enough to realize that, okay, my comps are not coming from Norwood. especially after I've gone in and done this work. But the appraisers were willing to go actually a couple of miles away behind an area called Highland Avenue because they're similar in style houses and year built and all that. And they started pulling comps from there a couple of miles away. That is what started transforming Norwood. Rob Malcolm is his name. And Rob, at some point in time, he had his own comps. He had created his own comps. I was told, I don't know this to be fact, but I've heard Rob and Shannon have started building their personal home from ground up in Norwood. But that being said, the city of Birmingham owes him a lot. He's transformed an area. Now there's a lot of other investors in there. One of the great things about Norwood and about North Birmingham is the old Caraway Hospital, which still sits in ruin today. I was by there last week, but that is supposedly getting ready to become some kind of a mixed complex of some sort. I don't know what it is. I haven't, read anything about it, but I've heard about it. It will transform that area. That I looked at a house behind Caraway the other day for some guys that I helped them buy houses, and they are going to put an offer on it to not fix the house up. The house is in bad shape. They want that lot. Is what they want. So their thought is, I can sit on this lot and let's just wait. And I agree with them. I think it's a smart move.
So that's really interesting. I mean, it blows my mind because people always used to ask us, hey, what about Norwood? And we'd be like, I wouldn't buy in Norwood. And really, I think you have to be a certain type of investor to go in there with the guts and the vision to see what's going to happen in Norwood and the money. Quite frankly, if you're buying a two-story house in Norwood, it's got to have tens of thousands of dollars worth of restoration done to it. It's got huge ceilings, more than likely. I mean, these houses are built, they're 100 years old. So it's not your everyday investor. So if you're in California, you're listening to this, kind of what I think. So how do you decide, like, do I try to go and transform an area? Like, if there's so many areas of Birmingham coming back, do I try to be on the cutting edge of that? Or do I want to catch it kind of as the movement has already started? Because I'm thinking about Avondale. Like, we've got our friend Kobe Lake, who totally transformed. If you're even an out-of-state investor, you've probably heard of Avondale. It's absolutely, people are looking for the next Avondale. So you see this going on in Norwood. You're talking about other places. How do you balance the desire to find really good deals with being on the cutting edge? And then what would be your advice to investors who are looking at, like, restoring some massive property like what you have in Norwood, or more efficient houses, the typical 3-1, 3-1.5, 1,200 square feet, built in the night? I'm just thinking kind of like of the Centerpoint Roebuck, Clay Chalkville area. Like, what's your advice to investors there?
So first, I think the next Avondale is East Lake.
You're already seeing it.
Absolutely. We're seeing it. I mean, we're seeing in 2020, we bought and sold, I think it was 8 houses in East Lake. The thought was to buy them, turnkey them, put a tenant in them, and then turn around and sell it to the investor. We were in the middle of construction, would have real estate agents coming by going, I've got somebody for this house.
Retail.
Yeah. Yeah. So it is your young millennial. It is your millennial that is moving in. And, well, yes, all parts of East Lake, Northeast Lake, there's new construction going on in Northeast Lake now. Yeah. I was on a street called 72nd Street North, and there's 2 houses being built on that street, and it could be Habitat. I don't know, but it's that bungalow look, but something tells me it's probably not Habitat. I just don't believe it is. So yes, I mean, we're seeing it everywhere in East Lake. There's a long ways to go. I mean, there are a lot of houses in East Lake. There's a lot of bungalows in East Lake. There's a lot of big houses in East Lake. You know, that out-of-state person that's buying, man, you've got to know your contractor. You just have to be so careful. You've you know, you personally, you need good boots on the ground here that you fully trust, and they can report back to you on a daily, weekly basis, letting you know what's going on. That's the biggest thing that scares me about out-of-state investors coming in that are not here to oversee what's taking place. You just really need to be careful.
Yeah, we've had our share of that type of thing where, you know, an investor brings us a house at Evernest saying, hey, it's totally rehabbed. We go out and walk it and we're like, hey, guess what? It's not fully rehabbed. Like here's a punch list of 100, you know, things that they maybe even thought were done that weren't done. And that is a challenge, right? It is a challenge. I think even now, with as many investors that are in Birmingham, really in all parts of the country, right? So we're in Columbus, Ohio, and it's booming over there, everywhere from there to Denver to all these places. Rehabbers, like contractors, are in high demand. And so, you know, just the importance of building a team. And we've talked about this before, like knowing, just like Brian's saying, before you come in and start buying, knowing who's on your team, knowing who you can trust, building that team. I'll go ahead. I mean, we actually started a brokerage part of our business in 2021. We were part of 700 transactions. And in Birmingham, we did a lot of them in Birmingham. And part of the reason we're able to do that so many is because we have the crews that actually do the rehab. And so, but if you're coming from out of state and you're just buying from a real estate agent that doesn't have rehab crews or doesn't have a connection or anything like that, you just need to be very, very careful and watch what you do. So, Brian, talk to me a little bit about, so you've given us a couple of areas that are up and coming. Those are some of your, and you love West End. You're the one that really, Brian's the one that really got me interested in West End. Talk about maybe other areas. I know East Lake, and East Lake's been on everybody's kind of, has been seeing it. It's on the radar. There's no doubt about it. We've had a couple of guests. I even interviewed Jonathan Mednick not long ago, who you're friends with Jonathan. So we know East Lake. What about any other areas that people are less likely to know about that maybe you could foresee coming back? And I know you've mentioned some that are like the Powderly and Lipscomb, Wylam. What else?
So the Lipscombs, the Wylam, even though in Wylam we're seeing houses retail. So, but I still look at those areas, rental areas. Yeah. And again, today I would, as long as that house is standing in Wylam, if I could buy it at a number, I would own it. I would own all of Wylam if I could. So if you get outside of Wylam, let's stay in that area. There's a highway called Highway 269, which takes you, it's 20th Street. It's called Inslee Boulevard. As you go through the old downtown area of Inslee, and it turns into 269, which Wylam is not very far from there. But if you continue to travel, you get into Minor, you get into the McDonald's Chapel area. I love that area. I love it. A lot of it is 35224 zip code, same zip code as Wylam. But as you travel along, you may have a house with a single wide trailer next to it. But I don't care. I mean, I wish I owned the single wide trailer. So that is an area that I love. I love that area. I will always love the Adamsville, the Forestdale, if you can get that. You know, again, it has really gone up in price. Graysville is booming. We are going further out now. We're going out what's called Old Highway 78 towards Dora, Summerton. I know a guy that just bought 250 acres there. He is getting ready to go in and subdivide it and build new houses on it, build to rent. It's going to be build to rent. I don't know how many you can put on, but just 250 acres is a lot of land. So I'm actually, because the Birmingham proper has gotten even more difficult for me to buy here, and I'm in these neighborhoods every day. I am going further out. Now I'm going 50 miles out. I'm really looking outside more so in the country than anything now. And again, we'll either flip it, we'll either use it for rental or owner finance it out. There's no box, as Peter Fortunato says. And so whatever we can do with that house, if we buy it at a decent number.
So speaking of that, because you mentioned there's no box, let's talk about what you're seeing in some of these areas from a short-term rental perspective. Because I know, like, I've talked to some friends of ours that we both have that are either doing it or have been looking into it. Are you seeing short-term rental become a part of some of these areas that were traditionally just long-term rental?
Yes. I actually was at the bank the other day and ran into a guy that we know, Matthew Gregory. Mm-hmm. And so I was talking. Yeah. So I knew y'all had him on, and Matthew and I were talking about short-term rentals. And now Matthew kind of strategically stays in, I would go as far as to say more so of the downtown Birmingham area and through there. I have heard, I don't know this, and I think this may be a friend that we have, but we have an area, Roebuck-Huffman area, the 35235 and the 35215 zip code, that there are short-term rentals out there. Yeah. And, you know, my thought with that is you have so many traveling nurses now, and that person that's working at St. Vincent's East that may very well want that Huffman or Roebuck area. But I don't know much about that. I've never owned that. So I'm probably not the one that anybody would ever want to talk to about short-term rentals.
Well, I know that our friend Bruce Glenn was telling me about several people that had done short-term rentals. And I think actually Jonathan Mednick's started to do some. So just really interesting times. I mean, it really, really is, like, because you think about the Protective Life Stadium, there's going to be more events here happening. So kind of to Matthew Gregory, he's doing it more downtown, which is probably what you're seeing.
I just think you'll see North Birmingham with quite a few of them. I just think you're getting ready to see a boom take place down there with a lot of new construction.
This is really very, very interesting. Totally different, Brian, than almost 20 years ago when we were buying, like when you and I were buying wholesaling, it was all local investors we were selling to. Everybody was local. There weren't out of state people. And now you have just this booming desire from out of state investors from California, New York, Florida. Yeah, Birmingham's on fire. It has been on fire. We've talked about it even 2 years ago. We thought, oh, well, you know, COVID might cool things off, but it hasn't. It's just heated things up. And now that we're coming out of it, it looks really, really promising for Birmingham. Any last words or thoughts about Birmingham and any advice to our listeners?
Really, the only advice that I would give anybody is just be careful. Know your numbers, know who you're dealing with. You know, your numbers are going to be different than my numbers, but it's got to make sense to you. You know, the thing about it, if that one house that you think you want just doesn't work number-wise, leave it alone. There's another one coming. The other thing I would tell everybody, get a full inspection on a house. Never buy something. If you're out of state, never buy something without going through that full inspection. And then I'm going to leave you with this last thing. There's an area called Collegeville, which is even north of Norwood, north of North Birmingham. It's really been a pretty rough area. Now, it does. It's the 35207 zip code. Part of that zip code is in an area called Fultondale, which is a great area. But I'm amazed at what we're seeing take place in Collegeville. And again, I never thought I would see Collegeville changing. Again, we look there now. We're actively looking in Collegeville. So there's really not a bad area of Birmingham to buy in. Again, you just got to buy it right. You've got to buy it right. Rents are going to be what they're going to be. Somewhat an Everness can tell you what that house is going to rent for. And again, just be careful and go about it slow and come visit the city before you ever consider buying.
That's absolutely 100% great advice. We've said that from the very beginning. Come visit, be patient. Like just what Brian's talking to you about, like you don't have to buy the first house that comes across your desk or computer or whatever. Work with somebody who you trust. Have your goals. Know what you're trying to accomplish. If you don't, if you're just taking the shotgun approach, then it could end up in disaster. But I love what you're saying, Brian. Like, there's so many. I kind of almost, when I'm thinking about this episode, I'm thinking like, this is the value episode. This is the, how do you become a value investor in Birmingham? Well, you're looking at areas that most people aren't looking at, right? And so these are those areas, the ones that you're mentioning. So appreciate it, man. Thank you for your time. Thanks for coming to my house. Brian actually made a visit out here because we're going to go out and have some lunch and catch up on our personal lives and shoot the bull for a little bit. And so anyway, if you haven't already, leave us a review for the Birmingham Real Estate Investor podcast and email us if you have any kind of thoughts about future episodes. Love to hear from you. You can email us at podcast@evernest.co. And if you are interested in, I want to throw this out here. This is the last thing I'll say. We have a rental evaluator. So if you want a very, very sharp tool, we use it with all of our clients, institutions, clients who buy from, who we go out and find rental property for. Go and download. It's free to you. You can find it at evernest.co/calculator. And it's going to run you through every conceivable number from, you know, everything from rehabs to taxes to insurance to, I mean, there's so much that you can plug into this to see what your cap rate's going to be, what your cash on cash return is. So I would encourage you, go download that, use it for any kind of properties you evaluate. You can, whether, no matter where you evaluate them, this thing will be very, very valuable to you. So that's it. We'll be back next month with another episode of this podcast.